to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 98 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk all about D23. As you've heard by now, there's been a lot of announcements this past weekend from the D23 convention out in California concerning a lot of the movies and the parks, and we're going to talk a little bit about those tonight. Well, with me on tonight's show, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Outstanding. How are you, Ed?
Doing good. Doing good.
I'm tired. I spent a lot of time in lines.
Oh, I could imagine. Sam's fresh back from California in D23. We're going to hear all about it. Also with us tonight, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I'm pretty fantastic. I think I'm like 36 days out from Disney.
Nice.
Ooh, very nice.
Which means Sam and I are probably about, what, 40, 41?
40, 41, yeah.
Nice.
Getting very, very excited. It's getting close enough that you can kind of feel it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I got to get some more plans done as far as food and wine. And maybe sort out some of the days we're going to be down there. But other than that, I'm set.
Yeah, that stuff's kind of lost in all these announcements. But Food and Wine Festival's like right here. That's so cool.
Oh, I know. I know. I can't wait. Well, as Sam said, we had a lot of announcements this week. All about D23 and the different things happening with the Disney company over the next couple of years. Now, the way the whole D23 weekend was set up was a number of different panels that you basically stood in line, waited to get into, and then experienced the magic. Sam, tell us all about it.
You know, D23, the expo is just incredible. This is the fourth time that they've done the D23 expo. It started in 2009, and it's been an every other year event at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is literally right next to California Adventure, right behind it, a block away. So it was 2009, 11, 13, and then in 15. So mark your calendars 2 years from now, although dates aren't out. I do definitely hope to be back in 2016. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can buy individual day tickets or you can buy the whole weekend. There's lots of different packages, lots of things that you can do while you're there. I was there for a single day. I got in on Thursday, spent the evening with Jen over at Trader Sam's, which was outstanding. Recorded a little bit of audio there that we might be able to use someday. Who knows? But that was great just to take in Trader Sam's at Disneyland, at the Disneyland Hotel, and prepare for the expo. Again, it's at the convention center. So think of it like any trade show that you may have gone to on business or forever, whatever it might have been. Essentially, the convention center is transformed into everything Disney, with main stages that they call the D23 stage or the destination stage, and breakout sessions throughout the weekend of different things that you can go to see, along with an exhibit floor that is absolutely huge and encompasses everything Disney. One thing's for sure, if you're attending, you're going to spend a lot of time in line waiting to do things. And I did exactly that. I would say the Friday that I was there, the expo opens, the hall opens at 9 a.m. for D23 gold and silver members, then 10 a.m. for the general public. And there are people in line the night before. It's just unbelievable. I'm staying at a hotel near the convention center. I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I turn on MSNBC or CNBC, which is what I do every morning. And there's John Lasseter standing almost near the lobby of the hotel that I'm in, being interviewed with a huge Buzz Lightyear from Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And it was, okay, let's go. Got to go. Got to get down there.
Very cool.
It was pretty cool.
Now, do you have to be a D23 member to go, or is it just a matter of preference?
You do not. Tickets were, and next year I'm sure will be, available at D23.com. There is a discount if you're a D23 member. but there's not a requirement. So they went on sale early for D23 members at a slight discount, and then as the event gets closer, it's open to the general public.
Okay, very cool. Now, how many events in the one day you were there did you get to?
So here's what it breaks down to, right? There's the main stage, and you want to get into the exhibit hall, which I'll talk about in a second. But you really have to make some tough choices here, because there's Hall D23, Stage 23, Stage 28, the center stage, the Disney Archive stage, and then breakout sessions all over. So for example, the morning of the first day, everyone wants to get there. They want to get their quote unquote stage pass. So just like a fast pass, you can get in line for a stage pass or for a store pass. And what those do is allow you to sort of skip the line to get into the store to buy things, or skip the line to get into an event later that day, right? So the first day is all about live action movies. That's what Friday was all about. Then Saturday is the Disney Parks Day. That's when Parks and Resorts has their big presentation and their announcements, which we'll talk about. And then the last day, there's sort of lots of things regarding this year it was all about Mickey Mouse Club celebrating the 60th. So they had a reunion of the 60th and of those Mickey Mouse players from the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, cool.
So here's the decisions that you have to make. So first morning, okay, you can go to the Disney Legends Award ceremony. That's 2 hours long. That's where the new inductees happen into the Disney Legends, which was really cool. You know, the legends typically are there. That was Johnny Depp, along with lots of others. Or you can go and talk about Retro Disneyland through a slideshow of never-before-seen images. Before Ever After was another breakout. In conversation with the filmmakers of the emotions behind Inside Out, or the magic behind the Muppets.
So you obviously did Muppets.
I personally did the Muppets. I'm
surprised, actually.
Interested in that.
I know you are, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised if I would have, out of those, I would have guessed you would have gone to the Retro Disneyland thing.
And that was next. That would have been the next one. But later in the day, there was an Imagineering 60 Years of Disneyland that I had circled that I wanted to do.
Gotcha.
But the big reason why I wanted to go to the Muppets is this is all about the new ABC television show that's coming. Yeah. And you had four of the Muppet performers that were there as themselves. And then halfway through the session, boom, there's Fozzie Bear. There's Animal. There's Gonzo. There's Rizzo the Rat. It was awesome. And these guys start to talk in the voices and really talk about the Muppets and what this new show's about. And, you know, Kermit and Miss Piggy broke up. What's all that about?
That is legit.
It is a thing. Absolutely, it is a thing. It's not the first time. Miss Piggy was not at the event. This is the way they did it. Miss Piggy was not there. This was done. This is obviously on purpose. She thought it was too soon. But Kermit was absolutely there. Didn't talk about her. Didn't want to. But they have to work together on this new show. So this new ABC show is a backstage look at the Muppets. So think of it like The Office, which, by the way, premieres in September. It's supposed to be what happens with the Muppets when they're off set. So Miss Piggy has a late night talk show, and Kermit is producing the show. And Fozzie is kind of her Ed McMahon kind of a thing, right? So Fozzie Bear's in it. The house band is the Electric Mayhem Band, which is really cool.
Nice.
It looks like it has the potential of being really cool, and here's why I'm hoping it does well, because I think if that show does well, it could save Muppet Vision and the Muppet presence in Hollywood studios. But that's a conversation we'll have a little later.
And I could see where that would do well, because they'll have to have guests on the show, so you'll have the cameos of all these stars.
Yep.
Be nice.
Which is really cool. So go through that one, and then we head into the trade show floor. So let me very quickly, the trade show floor. This is what you find. You know, you go to a trade show, you walk in, and all the different vendors have their different things. So here's a breakdown of what the Disney company had in these different places. And all of these are big exhibits that will take you 15, 20, 30 minutes to get through because of the detail, right? Disney Parks and Resorts, the Walt Disney Archives had a huge Disneyland 60th thing. Disney Consumer Products was there. The Walt Disney Studios were there with Star Wars stuff. Disney Movies Anywhere, Disney Citizenship, ABC Television Group. the Disney Music Emporium, the Disney Desk, Disney Interactive, which, oh man, Disney Interactive, Star Wars Battlefront. I could have stayed there all day and played that. They also had Infinity 3, which was incredible.
Have you Unreal. Ever played Battlefield?
I've not. So Ed and I chatted about this before. I'm an old school Star Wars Battlefront on the PC guy from years and years ago. X-Wing Commander and Star Wars Battlefront. Love them.
I've never played Battlefield, the game, but from what I understand, that's the platform that Battlefront is built upon.
Nice. So
like
that,
they took the game Battlefield and they adapted it to a, you know, a Star Wars
thing. Star Wars thing. Right, well, because sure. you're battling, well, the big demo they had was you are in the Battle of Hoth. You are one of the rebels, you know, and you're running and you see them, you see the AT-ATs coming at you and the snowspeeders are flying out there towards them and it's a first person thing and you're in the movie. It was just incredible.
Awesome. Very cool.
Love that. Yeah. So that's the Disney stuff, right? Then Friends of Disney, like Target's there with lots of stuff, and American Tourist had all of the Mickey Mouse and Disney suitcases and vans and, yeah, and Coca-Cola and the Family Museum and Star Wars change. You name it. You can spend 2 days in this exhibit, and that's just touching shopping. Unbelievable. The Dream Store, Mickey's of Glendale. This is where you can get Imagineer t-shirts, right?
Was this set up so they were collecting like free items for each of these vendors, or were they all set up to sell you stuff?
So they're really not selling things in these demos other than you know, pointing you to a website or someplace like that. Disney did have a really cool trading card thing, sponsored by Chase, by the way, where these different exhibits, they would hand you a trading card. You know, it's like, hey, here's a Figment trading card, and here's R2-D2, and here's one of the three fairies kind of a thing. The problem I had was I was only there Friday, and you got Figment on Friday, and you had to come back on Saturday for the Dreamfinder, and they connected together, and I'm so I got to get a Dreamfinder card somewhere. So yes, definitely, they were pointing you to exhibits, and Vans wasn't selling the shoes, but they'll tell you where to get them, and there were lots of examples of them. But that said, there was also an exhibit area that was more like that trade show type of a feel, where these are vendors that have come in with their Disney Anna collectibles, and they're definitely selling them back there. Lots of pins for sale, lots of you name it, it was for sale back in the area. Another place I could have spent the day just looking through all the Disney Anna collectibles and collections and park maps like you wouldn't believe. Gift cards with no value, but just collectible gift cards all over. And things like that I just look at and I shake my head and go, can I get those back, the ones I threw away?
Right.
Absolutely. It's amazing. But it is everything you could imagine Disney.
Awesome.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, we got to get out there for 2017.
And then, okay, you get in there for a little while. You're looking around, and now you look back down at your map and go, okay, now I have to queue up for the second thing that I want to do. What's it going to be? So the next – that night, it's the big John Lasseter Disney Animation Studios. So this is hosted by John Lasseter, which ended – it was supposed to be from 3 till 5, but it ran till almost 6 o'clock. This is where they went over all the upcoming movies, you name it. You know, The Good Dinosaur, Toy Story 4, Finding Dory, went through all the stuff that's coming. And on the sidebar, you could go to Safari So Good, 60 years of the world famous Jungle Cruise, or Exploring the Past, Present, and Future of Storytelling, or Disneyland Home Movies. Which one do you do here?
Right. And you know, I tell you what, with the age of YouTube and Periscope and all that, Jimmy and I, even though we didn't go, were able to experience a lot of the different panels and different events they had at D23. And I was able to watch the Jungle Cruise one afterwards.
Nice.
And it was a little different than I thought it was going to be, because it was ex-cast members basically talking about the Jungle Cruise and the history of the different parks.
There was a point I went to that one, and there was a point in it where they basically said, okay, put up the house lights. If you were or you currently are a Jungle Cruise skipper, stand up. And right. I was, wow. a lot of that room was former Jungle Cruise skippers.
Sure. Well, that's very cool that they're sticking around.
Absolutely. And they got into some detail around The History of the Jungle Cruise. Played a lot of clips from Walt back in the day on television talking about it, because this was one of the prime attractions, and then how it changed in the different parks and how the Jungle Cruise evolved into one of the Imagineers on stage, or actually wasn't an Imagineer, it was a skipper who was the squeaky wheel that wanted to get the Jingle Cruise done. And ultimately got them to do the Jingle Cruise based on his endless pursuit of getting something to happen as an overlay, which was pretty cool.
So I tell you what, Sam, it sounds like you had a really, really good time.
Unfortunately,
it always sounds like it's a little compressed. Like
very.
You got to do a lot of rushing around.
Very. And standing in line. I mean, you're going to be standing in long lines. You just have to suck it up and know that you're going to do it. So the last session that I did was Imagineering 60 Years of Disneyland. Now, here's what that was opposite. The Disneyland Home Movies, a Goofy Movie 20th Anniversary Reunion, and Disney did that for artist Peyton Wintree, a celebration of the inspirational masterpiece. So I did this 60 Years of Imagineering, and I'm glad I did, because Marty Scarr was in there, Tony Baxter was in there. There were a lot of Imagineers just talking about how they got to where they are. And Marty did a great job of bridging Walt and what it was like when he left and realizing after the fact, that the 1964 World's Fair was all about the future of Disneyland, because all of those attractions came back. That's some great audio to listen to if you have the opportunity.
You know, and
awesome.
There's one thing I just wanted to mention. You had talked about, Ed, us getting to watch a lot of these panels via Periscope. So I just wanted to give a shout out to, the Mouse. He's got a website, does a blog and stuff. It's D-A-M-O-U-S-E, themouse.com. So I watched a couple of his. He did a really good job of kind of getting me involved and letting me observe some of that stuff firsthand. So,
And at this point, YouTube, D23, 2015 breakout, you're going to find lots of stuff.
Find everything you want to see, yeah.
And I tell you what, just if you would do the filter and do it for videos over 20 minutes, and that'll get you a real quick list of all the complete shows.
Like exactly.
Panels. Oh, nice. I didn't know. Okay. That's a great tip, actually.
That is a great tip. And there, I tell you what, I mean, who else, Ed, besides us and anybody listening to this show, can appreciate listening to 60 minutes of people talk about the Jungle Cruise?
Right.
Right. I totally loved agree. It. I loved it all. It was amazing. They had footage from before Disneyland opened. So this had to be 1954-53, where Walt is narrating a drive on a truck.
I was going to say
it was amazing. It was like a safari truck that was driving in where the trough is going to be for the cruise, but it wasn't there yet.
Right. They had almost – it was like a Rambler or something like that.
Yes, it was
that
awesome.
Was driving through the attraction. So there was a lot of good video, old movies in that one. Definitely worthwhile tracking down on YouTube. Well, and Sam kind of mentioned a little bit about some of the other presentations that went on. And on that first day, they had basically the live movie presentations. Now, when we were watching this, it was just pretty incredible how many people they kept pulling out.
Yep.
Now the downside of YouTube is, unfortunately, you couldn't see any of the movie previews. Everybody was very well instructed on you can't do this as far as the movie previews go, but as far as just the people coming out on stage, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted. We're not going to go really in detail about every movie. Safe to say, though, that there were no surprises in that, I don't know, about 10 shows ago we did a movie show. All those movies are still on track and they're all coming out. I think one of the bigger announcements was that they had Doctor Strange, the actor playing him, was announced. And wasn't that Benedict Cumberbatch? What's his name? He played Khan in the last Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
He's going to be Doctor Strange, which is pretty cool to hear. But every movie, they had a whole slew of stars coming out for each movie. For Alice in Wonderland, for the new Pirates movie, Captain Jack made an appearance. So it was pretty cool for each one of those movies. Now, one of the ones that really stood out, not just because we're Marvel fans, was but because we're Disney fans and Disney nerds. When they introduced the Captain America Civil War movie, they had the actor playing Falcon come out. He introduced Chris Evans. Chris Evans came out. And then in the small little interview right before they started talking about the movie, Chris Evans let go with some personal information about how he really, when he gets depressed, goes on YouTube, watches other people's Disney movies from down the parks.
Hmm.
I tell you what, let's listen to that real quick. Hang on a second. Here we go.
Nice.
I can't come introduce the Civil War without Captain America.
Hello. Is this on? Hello.
The standard.
All right, all right.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, keep it. Oh, we're here all day. We're here all day.
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm a big Disney fan. You know, my whole family, we grew up loving Disney. That was the place we all wanted to go as kids. And to this day, that's kind of, that's my idea of heaven. And it's an amazing experience to be somehow in any capacity involved with them, to be a part of that family. If I'm having a bad day, I go online and just watch. Like, I watch other people's home movies. Like, I'm on YouTube just watching other people's experience at Disney. It's a really fantastic.
And then we go in our trailer and sing the Frozen theme song to it, really.
How's that for a Disney nerd, huh? And we thought we were the only ones that watched the YouTube Disney videos.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
That's cool.
Even a Frozen reference.
Very good.
But the rest of the day basically had every one of these movies with their, not full cast, but a lot of the heavy hitters. I can't imagine how much money Disney spent on just getting these guys to show up.
So
there's sort of a contract to be in the movie, right?
No, I doubt it. Not now. I don't think going to the D23 convention is in their contract.
I doubt it. D23's not, but supporting the movie and
what does that include?
So that's my point. So the legal contract gets written up. You support the movie. You'll do whatever on the red carpet. You'll do whatever. And by the way, we need you on stage at D23.
I don't think that's forced to go.
Absolutely.
Right.
No,
I honestly don't. You can tell me George Lucas was forced to go? I think it's an honor to them.
Oh, no. For him, it's an honor. That's different.
Well, he was a Disney legend.
He was a legend being in
it. Well, still, but I think it's an honor for any one of those people to show up. That's cool stuff.
James Cameron would be the one you'd have to ask about. Did James Cameron make a couple bucks, or is it just part of his whole deal with
great
Avatar
question.
Land?
That's a great question.
That type of thing.
Great question.
Interesting side note, the guy that plays Falcon, Anthony Mackie, I worked with his brother at a car dealership for like 10 years. His brother, he's from here. Anthony Mackie's from here. One of his brothers, his brother owns a bar. The one I worked with owns a bar in New Orleans now. And his other brother's a professor, I think, at Tulane.
Wow, small world.
Yeah. They Very look, cool. Other than his brother Willie wearing glasses, they almost look identical.
So did anything else here stand out to you guys? Right, obviously the Marvel stuff, Zootopia, Gigantic, any of that stuff?
Yeah, you notice how Sam just wants to skip right over the Marvel stuff because he's not a fan?
I not that I'm not a fan.
That's right. There's just so much there.
There's so much. I want to be a fan.
Nothing really. Like I said, we were all expecting a lot of those announcements. I thought it was pretty cool because it seemed like the actors were scripted to kind of talk about their Disney experiences. Another really kind of emotional type of, I guess, spilling out of his Disney-ness was in The Jungle Book, the actor playing Bagheera, Ben Kingsley, and he mentioned how he heard the one song, the Pinocchio song, and that just clicked for him. He brought the whole Disney-ness in when he was a kid, and he just guided him throughout his life.
That's awesome.
So you heard a lot of that stuff. And it was, like I said, definitely worthwhile checking out YouTube-wise. It didn't seem like there was anything new that we're talking about. They did talk about Disney Rogue One, which they do have a cast for that now. There were a couple names I recognized. Unfortunately, I don't have them in front of me right here. They had
Star Wars spinoff, right? Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. They had the Star Wars cast from the next movie come out. Some of those actors were there, which was pretty incredible. And they didn't have any previews from it, so I was safe to watch it. Except for the poster. Now, this is pretty cool, is that when they showed the poster for the new Star Wars movie, the one gentleman said that, okay, well, everybody's going to walk away with a free poster, which was so cool. And that brought back my memories of I went to the quote-unquote Comic-Con in New York City before The Return of the Jedi came out.
Way back when.
And they gave us all posters when we left that because we saw a little preview of it. We saw that. We heard some people talk about it. However, the poster I had at the time, which I no longer have, was Revenge of the Jedi.
Yep.
So it was the original name they had on it before they made that final change. And I blame my mom on that one. She cleaned out my room one afternoon. And
probably worth a ton of money now.
Oh, yeah. But so basically, it was a fun thing to watch, but no real new information for the movies. And it's kind of the same thing with the animation, Sam. It was a lot of the movies we expected to hear about and a lot of the voices coming out. The one for Finding Dory was really cool. Ellen DeGeneres was there with a lot of the cast. The one young actress was in a lot of different movies, which was pretty cool to see. And unfortunately, I don't know her name off the top of my head. So what else stuck out to you as far as the cartoons, guys? Anything? The animation? Pixar's got a lot of great stuff coming up. Pretty much all that we talked about.
I'm very, very excited about Finding Dory. To me, that's one of the... And then, Incredibles 2, that being announced. Or
kind a of poster of.
Yeah. Poster of, yeah.
Well, but that's enough cool. to tell me it's in, they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's so cool to know that Pixar doesn't quote unquote do sequels,
no.
which they do now, which is
nice. Toy Story 4,
officially.
Right, yeah,
exactly. So a lot of great information, definitely worth watching those panels. We just wanted to kind of get past this a little bit so we can get to the parks panel.
Let's get to Tuesday, yeah. That's Saturday. Absolutely.
Oh no, that's fine. Yeah, because that was where a lot of the information that interests us the most came out, and that's what we want to talk about now.
Yeah.
Well.
At the parks presentation, they talked about all the Disney properties. So there was a lot of information about Tokyo. There's a lot of information about the new Shanghai park. And we're not going to go a lot into that. I did see that they had a new Tron motorcycle roller coaster in Tokyo that looked pretty incredible.
Yeah, Shanghai, the one thing I will mention, the Disney Parks and Resorts exhibit that was on the trade show floor was 80%. Shanghai and what they have coming and their Tomorrowland with this huge Tron attraction inside of it and what they're doing for their Main Street and what they're doing for It's a Small World and Jungle Cruise and how they're making it better. That was cool, great to see. And then there was a model of Avatar Land, no details on attractions, but you could see that. And that was pretty much all the Disney parks had in their exhibit. Mostly Shanghai, a little bit of Avatar. Personally, I was disappointed because I wanted to see the Hollywood Studios model, which we did not see, but they did talk about it in the park's breakout session in their panel.
Right. And based on what we heard, I don't think they're too sure. I mean, I know that they have to have a full idea.
Somewhere somebody has a model of the 5-year plan, and that has changed considerably and constantly, I'm sure. So they've only told us what they want us to know, what's going to happen first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. So now they did have a number of different speakers come on to help us out, find out what was going to happen in the parks. And our favorite, or at least one of my favorites, Joe Rohde, came on and told us all about the Animal Kingdom. So this clip that we're going to listen to now is Joe Rohde. It's going to start out with the gentleman who introduced Joe first, and then you'll hear the intro for Joe, and then he's going to talk about what's going on in Animal Kingdom. So here we go. Let's listen to that. Okay, let me unplug my headphones.
And as you know, we've been making great progress on our work to transform Disney's Animal Kingdom into a park that offers a full day of fun. As we've already announced, we're creating a new nighttime.
They admitted that half day thing right there.
And we're anchoring the all day experience with an entire land based on the award winning film Avatar so that our guests can visit the land Pandora.
Hold on.
Of course, Pandora is a world like no other, and it's a perfect fit at Animal Kingdom. Now, the details that we've shared so far have been received with much enthusiasm. And today we wanted you to be the first to hear more. And here to help do that is the Imagineer who has led the creative team at Animal Kingdom since the very beginning. Please welcome Joe Rohde.
Hello. system, a place that celebrates the richness, the beauty, the adventure, the intrinsic value of nature itself. But until now, we've really only been able to celebrate half of that story, the half that happens in daylight. Those of us, and there's few of us, who have had the opportunity to be in the park in the evening, know that when the sun sets, that the whole pace changes, the whole mood changes, your attitude, your attention to the environment changes around you. So we're not just talking about keeping the park open for a couple more hours. We're looking at how to craft experiences that are going to capture this change in rhythm, this change in spirit that happens in a natural place at night. Now, of course, it's a Disney project, has to have pixie dust. The pixie dust of Animal Kingdom is the fireflies. And the fireflies are going to host us into this experience of the magic of nature after dark.
You know, Joe, these changes represent the largest expansion in the park's history. It's going to be phenomenal. Why don't you tell our D23 fans just a little bit more about it?
Well, one of the first things we're going to do is extend the Kilimanjaro Safari so that you'll be able to adventure through the African savannah by kind of magically extending the orange glow of sunset indefinitely into the night. We're increasing the population.
That's a mystery line there.
We're adding two great new species, African wild dogs, which are really cool, hyenas, which I happen to love.
So are African dogs and hyenas two different things?
Yes. To provide us an even more unforgettable journey as you take off into the darkness on this ride. And then there's Rivers of Light. This is going to be a ceremonial event that happens on our lake at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It takes the idea of this very special nature of animals that are in this park and turns it into a celebration of life itself. It starts out very simply and very humbly. I'm sure there's going to be people sitting there going, whoa, whoa, really? We're here for, like, some candles? And then it starts to unfold and grow and bigger and more elaborate lanterns appear, and then these huge curtains of water and light coming out of the water and animals within them, and ultimately this all takes off into the sky. We're using a combination of light, of fire, of water, the same elements that really make up the core of life on Earth, along with live performers, to create a rich, remarkable experience.
Wow, very, very excited about all that. I completely agree that this is going to make Animal Kingdom not a half a day park anymore, which is pretty awesome to me.
Oh, no doubt. Now, the way he explained the show at night, it sounds like it's going to be a combination of all the water shows they have in all the parks right this second.
Yeah.
Plus a little extra.
What you'd want, right? You want to take it to the next step.
Right. And that whole idea of something going from the water to the trees and into the sky, I think that into the sky might be the new thing for these type of shows.
The interesting concept art that I saw had the Rivers of Light, which we all know where they're building that. That's in the
right water, by Everest.
Right. The Everest and Nemo, you walk around that entire thing. But some of the concept art showed these fountains, and I hope it's close to the technology in World of Color. You can only expect it is. But you also had lights on the Tree of Life behind all of this water stuff. And if they're going to pull the Tree of Life somehow into the show, I think that could be absolutely incredible. You start with the fireflies. So those fireflies are around the Tree of Life, and it just sort of gets bigger and bigger, and that's awesome. And now add to that Pandora itself, which they really didn't give us any details on attractions other than giving us an official name and showing us some concept art of what it would look like. The other thing I find really interesting is that nighttime safari. The constant orange glow of sunsets in two new animal cages, that I can't wait to see.
Right. That's going to be interesting to see how they portray that, too. Is it going to be torches around the trail? Or is it going to be the safari vehicles lit up, kind of like Jungle Cruise at night type of thing?
Who knows?
Fun to do.
Who's the new prairie dogs and hyenas, right? Two different new...
Well, I thought he said... I thought he said wild dogs.
Yeah, wild dogs. Not prairie dogs, wild African dogs.
All right. Wild dogs and hyenas. Cool.
Which they got to be separated because they're nuisances to everybody else animal wise. So that's going to be interesting to see where they put that and how they expand it. The Avatar Land ride, I think, was the one with the birds or those flying dragon-type lizards, which was going to be called Flights of Passage. And the way they explained it, it was going to be more of a ceremonial type of rite of passage for, I guess, the people of Pandora to fly on their animals and become connected to them somehow.
So, which means, was there any time? There's really no time frame on this other than early 16? Is that what we heard for Rivers of Light?
I actually, Rivers of Light, maybe. I heard as far as Avatar Land itself, 2017.
Right. I think that could. We'll see Rivers of Light before that. I guess what I'm thinking in my back of my mind, how does this impact my planning to Walt Disney World in early 2016? Because now I can't leave Animal Kingdom and go to Disney Springs for dinner. I'm going to have to go to Hollywood Studios and leave that early to go over.
Right.
So Animal Kingdom is now my full day and Hollywood Studios is my half day.
For a short term period.
Yes, right. We'll get to everything coming to studios, but we're not going to see any of it for a while.
Long time.
Right. And I do remember about 5-6 months ago, they were testing things at night at Animal Kingdom. So yeah. They are moving really far ahead with the night shows.
No fireworks over there, right? Because of the animals. That's what we always heard. So a show like World of Color to the next step is absolutely perfect.
Right.
Love it.
So we'll see. Awesome. So now Adventureland, I'm sorry. So now for Animal Kingdom, that's about all they said. And then they moved on to Epcot. Now, the Epcot update wasn't that large at all. We didn't hear anything about a new fireworks show. We didn't hear anything new about new pavilions. What we did hear about was something that we've been hearing about for a little while. They talked a little bit about the Norway Pavilion. And
Frozen Ever After? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Frozen Ever After. So we got it. I don't know if we knew that name or not, but I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, which I think that was nice to hear. They showed some of the animatronics, which looked really cool.
Yeah.
Who's the reindeer? Sven?
Sven.
Right. They showed him. He looked pretty awesome. And they showed the girls. So that's coming along. And it was kind of funny because they said it's something that's going to draw people into Norway. I don't think Norway had that much of an issue before. But whatever justifies it, that's fine with me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think it's going to draw kids into Norway is the idea.
Right.
Trolls did it. Well, never mind.
Well, they did. Backwards water rides.
The other thing over at Epcot was the official, we're getting a new movie for Soarin', which was absolutely incredible because up until then, we only knew we were getting a third theater. Now we know we're getting Soarin' around the world, which is really cool. And I saw concept art. Or not concept art, it was a picture of a helicopter flying over the Great Wall of China. So
there's a short video. You go to the official Disney YouTube channel?
Or the YouTube channel, okay.
The YouTube channel, there's a short video of the making of the new Soarin' film. When I say it's short, it's only about probably a 20-second video, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is the youtube.com/DisneyParks if you're not familiar with it.
There you go.
So are they hitting the places that they have Disney parks? Is that the idea of this one, or just generally around the world?
I think it's more just generally around the world, but I'm not sure.
Very cool.
Yeah, around the world. And we heard all the rumors of the helicopter that was flying over Disneyland, and there was one flying over Epcot. And I would still love to see this somehow turn into like Star Tours where you get a different experience every time. I think
that's so cool
because there's so many places you can go with this. I mean, let's go over the Eiffel Tower, over the Grand Canyon, over, you know, the Great Wall of China. Just wow. The possibilities are endless. What we didn't hear though is if the soundtrack would change at all. Because that is there's so much emotion in that Soarin'.
So iconic, yeah.
We don't know.
One of my favorites. I mean, when that music comes on, it's so easily identifiable. And
you just listen to it, and I know what's on the screen when I listen to it. I close my eyes
and
see it.
Absolutely,
it's cool.
I'm sure some people would want to see the whole thing redone, new music. But I think it'd be great if they kept the music and just and made the film around the music.
Yeah. So that they also confirmed that it is being done for Shanghai, or was it Hong Kong? I don't exactly remember. They were doing it for one of those, but it will premiere at all of the parks that have Soarin'.
That's awesome.
We're getting it everywhere.
Very excited.
Nice. Very cool. Magic Kingdom did not have that much talked about at all. I can't remember actually anything.
I was about to say, I don't remember anything.
I don't remember anything Magic Kingdom related.
But that's been the main topic for the last 3-4
Absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was all understandable. 4 years ago is when they announced New Fantasyland, and here we are, you know, 5 years later, and it's in. So.
Right. Which is nice. You like to see that whole process.
Yes. But that's also actually, when they announced it at D23 is when it still had Pixie Hollow in the middle and didn't have the Mine Train. Right?
Oh, okay.
Which may be why they hesitated on telling us everything that they have in mind for the next park we're going to talk about, because they're not quite sure what's going to be in the middle of it.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Maybe they learned from that mistake. But not that it's a mistake. I mean, I loved seeing it. Pixie Hollow was awesome. And then, oh, we're not going to do that. The Tinkerbell movie didn't do that well. We're going to do a Snow White Mine Train instead. Okay. Sure.
Right. That worked out well.
Sure.
And what Sam was alluding to is the one park they spent a lot of time on was Disney Hollywood Studios. Now, initially, the disappointment of not hearing a new name was easily overcome by the announcements we did.
I'm still upset we didn't hear a new name. Come on. If Bob hadn't let it slip, then they could get away with it. But come on. It's still Disney's Hollywood. We know it's not going to be Hollywood Studios. But, right. But anyway, it is.
And the first announcement they made was kind of leaked the day before at the movie event. Because was it Bob that said this? Bob Iger? I think it was.
I'm not sure.
He mentioned how he had announced Star Wars Land on the first day during the live movie action during the Star Wars
parade. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Where he announced that both in Disneyland and in Florida.
Which was big news, by the way. The fact that it's going to be in both parks.
Oh, definitely.
Prior to this, we only thought it was going to be Hollywood Studios, but they're going to build it in two places at the same time. It's awesome.
See, now, Disneyland, we have to spend some more time figuring out where that's going to go.
Yeah.
We spent a little time looking at Disney World, at least I did the last week, looking at the Disney World map. And I kind of got to agree with what Len and Jim said when they were on our show a couple, like maybe about 10, 12 shows ago, as far as the Echo Lake looks to be on its way out. To me, looking at a map, that's the most logical location in that you've already got restaurants in there. You've already got Star Tours at the one end of that section. And it'd be perfect to fill the rest of it in.
Yep. There's maps showing where it's going to go in Disneyland, and it's I'm not familiar enough.
Are those official, or is that just somebody's?
I think it's
speculation.
That's all I thought. So the announcement of Star Wars Lands has a couple different things they came out with. The first one was it looks like we're going to be flying on a mission in the Millennium Falcon, which is incredibly cool.
Yeah.
Now, the way they said it, though, I heard a couple people saying you're going to be flying the Falcon. I don't think that's the case. The way the wording was, we're going to be flying on missions on the Falcon. So I think it's going to be something where we're going to be going along for the ride. But I can hopefully be very surprised by that. Maybe I'm wrong.
A Falcon simulator? I what is it? I don't know.
I know. Which is going to be so cool finding out. I'd love to fly even just to turn on the top or bottom of the ship.
Sure.
Fighting, like, TIE fighters or something like that. It's going to be interesting to find out because there's not a lot of people can fit the, I guess, passenger section. Unless it's just going to be a movie of us all in the audience. We're thinking inside. We're inside the Falcon.
I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, with all these new announcements, construction isn't going to start until 2017.
Which there's so many more questions than answers. I mean, now one thing is ingenious. Which you have to give them credit for. The Millennium Falcon is in the new movies. We know that. It's in all of the other movies, and it's absolutely a iconic spaceship that ties the entire franchise together. So no matter what happens in the future, you can pivot off of the Millennium Falcon. That's
absolutely
awesome. It's perfect for them to think that way. And the other thing I'm looking at here is this whole launch bay that they're talking about. Which I think was a test from this last Star Wars weekends when we went to the hangar, right? So now you have a launch bay, which is really this new area in the Star Wars galaxy where you can get on ships and go to just about any location that you want to. So you could theoretically go to Tatooine or go to Hoth or go to these new planets that we don't even know about yet. So it gives them a central hub of this new Star Wars land that they can continue to build off of for the foreseeable future.
It sounds incredible. For right now, though, let's listen to what they have coming up really soon. I know there's some Star Tours news coming up, and we have some other events happening at Hollywood Studios before even construction starts for this new Star Wars land. So hang out, let's listen to this.
So many of you are probably familiar with one of the early results of the Disney Lucasfilm partnership. Anybody here ride Star Tours? Well, since Star Tours took its first voyage here, right here at Disneyland in 1987, it's been a fan favorite. And we've updated it before, and we're going to update it again. So later this year, Star Tours will be adding a new destination and a chance to visit a new world from Episode 7. And you might even have a chance, spoiler alert, to meet some new characters. Also later this year, we're going to be updating our popular Jedi training live experience, adding some new designs, some new characters, some new storylines. And in addition, I'm happy to have some brand new opportunities to experience Star Wars, both in Orlando and right here in Anaheim. Later this year, we'll be counting down to Star Wars Launch Bay, a new location where guests can celebrate all things Star Wars. You can interact with some of your favorite characters and hear from the designers and directors of the latest Star Wars installments. You can explore exhibits of props, costumes, artwork from both the films and the animated series, and even be able to play the latest, coolest new games that come out of the Star Wars universe. Anybody seen some of the previews for either Disney Infinity or Star Wars Battlefronts? They look fantastic. And I'm super excited to say that at Star Wars Launch Bay, you'll be able to experience some new custom content only available at those locations. And we're not done yet. In early 2016, we'll be launching a limited time seasonal event both in Orlando and also right here in Anaheim. Building on the success of Orlando's Star Wars weekends, we're going to be launching a new event called Star Wars Season of the Force in both locations. Right here in Anaheim, first time. Now, this limited time event is going to be a great place to kind of amp up your Star Wars experience. We'll have enhanced character experiences, some limited time special food, drink, and merchandise opportunities, and some great new location-specific entertainment content specific to each location. For example, right here in Disneyland, guests in Tomorrowland will be able to experience the classic Space Mountain attraction in a whole new way when it becomes Hyperspace Mountain. New digital projection and enhanced customized soundtrack and new special effects are really going to put you in the middle of a high-energy experience celebrating all the sights, sounds, and visceral excitement of Star Wars. And at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, a new custom fireworks show will light up the night sky during the event. Yep. Set to that unforgettable John Williams score. Yeah.
And what Sam was saying about the launch bay, definitely, that's what they were talking about.
Yes.
I think the coolest thing about that is going to be the interactive games and things like that you can play with as you get
out. And characters. And characters, yep.
Yeah.
Right, which should be cool. And the blue milk. I want to find the blue milk.
I want to taste it. What's it taste like?
I don't know about the blue milk.
Right, that's it. Well, remember at the Rebel Hangar, they had blue milk, but it wasn't alcoholic, so I did not try it. But that's
good point.
Now, here's what's cool, and I heard, and I'll again, a shout out to Jim Hill because I heard him talking about this. Season of the Force, you heard them talk about that. They have not yet introduced Star Wars weekend dates for 2016.
It's think not about be Star Epcot. Wars weekend, right?
Say that again.
It's because it's not going to be Star Wars weekend. It's gonna
that's
be
my thought.
Of the Force. Yeah.
And this new Seasons of the Force brings to Hollywood Studios an event like Flower and Garden or Food and Wine, except now you have an event that's a season that you can do annually at Hollywood Studios to attract people. And that's absolutely incredible when you think about it in that when you think about it in that terms. Season of the Force is like
– it's the Food and Wine of Hollywood
Studios. It's Hollywood Studios Food and Wine.
Yep.
That's awesome.
There you go. Excellent. Now, another big, big, big announcement for Hollywood Studios was the new Toy Story Land. We've been waiting for this one for a long time, and it's been guessed about in a lot of different incarnations. We were thinking a Pixar Land. We were thinking maybe a repeat of Cars Land from Disneyland. However, we're going to get something brand new, Toy Story Land.
I don't think anybody.
This looked pretty incredible.
I don't think anybody saw it coming.
I don't think anybody saw Toy Story Land coming. I agree with that, but I'm still of the opinion that this is the first phase, and very likely Toy Story Land could be a part of a bigger Pixar Land. I hope that it is, but for now, this is cool.
Well, I tell you what, let's listen to this clip, and there's a key phrase in here. See if you guys can pick it out.
All right.
Here we go. Hang on.
And at Disney's Hollywood Studios, we're going to take the park to a whole new level. Of course, Star Wars is a major component of this work, but that's not all we're doing here. Because ever since we were introduced to Buzz, Woody, and everyone in Andy's room 20 years ago, the characters of Star Wars, or Toy Story, have found a lasting place in the hearts of our fans. Now, we've brought their stories to a number of parks in a number of ways, including at Disney California Adventure and Disney's Hollywood Studios with the popular Toy Story Mania. And we're pleased to tell you that we have new plans to take you to infinity and beyond. To help celebrate 20 years of fun with the Toy Story gang, I'm pleased to announce that we're bringing Toy Story Land to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And this will be part of our ongoing work as we transform this park, that one that takes you from behind the scenes, now the one that puts you in them.
So at the end of that clip, I think that was one of the most important lines we're going to hear in the entire weekend of D23, because it points out exactly what they're doing at Hollywood Studios. We're going to take people from behind the scenes and put them into the scenes. Basically, Hollywood Studios was a working studio where we were invited to come in and stand behind the camera as they put shows together, movies together, and animated movies. Now what's going to happen, and actually they've kind of started this already, is that they're going to put us into the scene. And as we all know, Toy Story Mania is basically Andy's room under his bed where he put together this great carnival type of runway situation, which we all get to experience. So by doing this, I think Hollywood Studios is giving themselves an out to do whatever they want now, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think it also leads to the eventual removal of the word studios from the title, right? Because this will be in the movies, not about the movies.
Right.
Right. Now, the only thing that kind of comes up to us as far as a question, we talked about this a little before we started recording tonight, was what happens to Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a major issue yet, but 3 to 4 or 5 years down the road, once we do have these really big scenes where we're going to be included, what scene are we covering over there?
Who knows? You're walking down Hollywood of the 1920s, 1930s to get to Star Wars Land or Toy Story Land or the Tower of Terror, where maybe it fits there, but you see what I mean.
Right, right. Now, as far as where Toy Story Land is going to be at Hollywood Studios, I've seen a couple different locations, and by just looking at the map myself, it's definitely going to be the backlot tour.
So here's what I got there, and Disney does great. They show us concept art, and when they show us this art, you can't tell any landmark to position where exactly this is. They have, you know, the shadows all around Toy Story Land. You can see where this new roller coaster is going to be and this new spinner ride, but you can't quite place it. But one thing's for sure for Toy Story Land – it has to somehow connect to Toy Story Mania. There's no way they can put it and not connect it to Toy Story Mania, right? So we're getting a third track, which they announced again, but that wasn't new news. So the most logical place to put this is right behind the existing Toy Story Mania building, which is parts of the backlot tour, which have closed.
Right. I agree. Yep.
So is it back there, or is it sort of further down Pixar Land on the right where the entrance to the backlot tour was? It's hard to tell.
I got to think the closing of the animation building has to be perhaps the first inkling of this construction that's going to happen.
It could be, because when you look at this, this land has the potential of reaching all the way around to the animation building.
Yeah,
right.
And leaving the building that one man's dreams in potentially there. Or maybe there's other plans for that. Who knows? But there's so many unknowns and questions that I have after I see this little picture.
Well, sure. And it, potentially, if they did have an entrance through that area where the animation courtyard is, then you'd have the other entrance on the other side where the old entrance to the backlot tour would be. You'd have a nice little route through a land back into the park.
Exactly. And then you have, right, what's your next phases? Your next phases are Lakes Motors Action's gone, and you go back that direction. So there's tons of room after you finish this piece. I love that.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if Lakes Motors Action makes it in the long-term plan.
Not long. It can't be in the five-year plan. You know, it sit back be. And look it's, at it. Here's what I'm looking at. Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror are the three things that won't move, that are going to stay. Everything else is potentially on the table, but some will probably remain.
Now, Star Tours, I think, is not going anywhere.
Yeah, Star Tours.
And maybe Star Muppets.
So I think Muppets has been on and off. I think the Muppets has been off and on the drawing board. And I think, like I mentioned when we started, the jury's out based on the popularity of this new show's come to ABC. And if that gets really popular, Disney's going to keep it and maybe even expand that area a little bit.
I've heard but in the meantime, theater's in pretty bad disrepair right now. A lot of the effects in the theater are not operating properly, and
it looked pretty good last time.
Yeah, they did them a little bit. Well, but that's gone. Disneyland, that's gone. That's where they do the Frozen sing-along at Disneyland. Muppet Vision's closed, completely gone. And it's sad to see it because I know it used to be in it. Now it's the Frozen sing-along. But end of the day, I believe that it stays short-term. And 2 years from now at D23 2017, they're still going to be talking about what's coming to Hollywood Studios. But in the meantime, we got some cool stuff to look forward to. So what's inside Toy Story Land?
Well, I tell you what, I think I got another clip. Let's take a listen.
All right.
And joining us today to tell you more about it and some of our work at Epcot is Kathy Mangum, the lead creative of Walt Disney.
Let's do it. Like Bob said, we are really looking at the studio, Disney Hollywood Studio, with different eyes. And we're taking it from a behind-the-scenes making-of story, and we're trying to build a more immersive experiences that will allow our guests to go into their favorite movies. And that's exactly what we want to do with Toy Story Land. As I know you're aware, we did something very similar across the street, fairly successfully, with Cars Land. We take you into the world of Radiator Springs, and that's exactly the level of immersion that we're aiming for Florida. We had a great story on opening day at Cars Land where we heard a little boy ask his mom if this is where the movie Cars was made. And that, I know, and that set a new level for us. That was it. I mean, we are onto something. So we're so excited to be bringing Toy Story Land to the studio in Florida. We really want people to feel like they're in that movie. So when you enter the world of Toy Story Land, you'll be shrunk to the size of Woody and Buzz and all the other toys in Andy's collection, and you'll find yourself in the wild and adventurous outdoors of Andy's backyard. He set up blocks, toys, game board pieces, anything he can play with to create the perfect setting for this land. And as you become part of Andy's world, you'll have two additional attractions to experience that are new to any Disney park. On one, little green aliens will pull you around for a spin on your own flying saucer. The music, the lighting, the sound effects, they will all add to the flurry of your adventure, while the claw looms ominously over you. Let's all say it. Ooh. It's really going to be fun. We're very excited about this one. On the other attraction, you'll be riding a family coaster that's going to zip and zoom and plunge and coast on a thrilling toy-filled adventure all on the back of Slinky Dog. And because it's one of our guests' favorite attractions, and we've already announced this, we are adding another track to Toy Story Mania to increase our capacity. So more and more guests who want to ride can ride it. And of course, as you know here, this is where we take you under Andy's bed, where he's built a midway full of really fun games. So it's so popular. So we're going to have those really great attractions in this land. And of course, with this new special location, you'll be able to meet all your Toy Story characters that you've loved for the past 20 years. This is our chance to introduce new generations of new fans, and this has just become a Disney classic land very, very quickly.
And again, something which is really nice is a kid's roller coaster or a quote-unquote family roller coaster, which I think it can never go wrong with.
My initial reaction is, as much as I'm excited about the themed land, I'm a little underwhelmed about the attractions, I guess. Some type of spinning rod and basically a barnstormer.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be more, it's based on his bedroom, but I'm thinking it's going to be carnival-like bedroom.
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting, kind of almost like Animal Kingdom, where they have their little carnival set up.
Like, to me, the biggest thing is the adding the third track to Toy Story Midway Mania.
I don't think that's going to matter. I think the line will still be huge, regardless.
So, two attractions, we know that's coming. Although, Jimmy, you just said you were underwhelmed, and I'd like to pick up on that, so I'm going to. So, Jimmy, I'm with you. Now, I just sent you guys a piece of concept art that they shared for Toy Story Land. And when I look at this, which will be in the show notes, by the way, you can tell up in the top right corner there's the two aliens, sort of the spinner ride, and you see the roller coaster. Now, here's what I'm intrigued by. There's a barn right there at the bottom, right behind the gentleman speaking. Is that Al's Toy Barn? And across the street from it,
I would imagine
there's what are all those buildings down here across from it? Is that counter service? What is that? Do you see what I mean?
Well, right away, I would have said Pizza Planet, but we already have one.
Well, so that's probably hopefully
they relocate it. Something Muppets.
It might. Maybe they'll get good pizza if they do it.
I mean, why wouldn't they relocate it to Toy Story Land?
Well, you would. Pizza Planet, where it is done. It's not going to be there long. I hope they turn it into Gonzo something or other, but that's another show conversation. But that said, Jimmy, wouldn't that be awesome to have a bunch of counter services right there on the right hand side?
Sure, absolutely. Hey, with carnival food or something like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Like corn dogs or
can that be the new Disney theme or the new Disney model after Harambe Village, perhaps, is that we're going to have
maybe.
Food courts at the park?
So I'm thinking of the movie. In the movie, when they cross the street and the cones and the cars come at them and they're trying to get the Al's Toy Barn, I don't remember what was across the street. I can't remember, but that would be awesome to theme that there. So I'm looking at all of these other buildings besides the roller coaster and the spinner ride and trying to figure out what all that stuff is. Because there's some cool stuff. Now, if you go past the Al's Toy Barn up on the left, where that almost looks like an entrance to Toy Story Mania. But who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Well, and we'll have some time to figure this out.
We will, but I think that's cool. So,
and Al's Toy Barn, that's going to be a store. How can that?
It has to be. It has to be retail.
But with a theme, who cares?
That's what I mean. So yeah, they gave us this land and talked about two rides, and you're kind of ho hum, a spinner ride and a family coaster. That's cool. We're all happy for it. Get it there as fast as you can. Two things that my kids will want to do in Hollywood Studios, which they're missing right now, right? We all agreed on that on previous shows that there's once you do a couple of rides, there's nothing for the little kids to do. Now there is.
True.
That's good. That's good all the way around.
Oh, no doubt.
What do you think of the spinner ride?
I can't tell exactly what it is.
Neither can I.
Based on that picture, because it almost looks like the thing is going to be the saucers above you on wheels or big legs.
So my first thought when I look at this piece of concept art with Buzz standing on the left and two sort of circles, I'm like, that looks like the new Dumbos, right? Two Dumbos on each side. But then you look at it closer and go, wait a minute. That looks – it's based on the Little Green Men. Is this some type of a Junkyard Jamboree setup where you're in a spinner that goes in a figure eight around a couple of things? Maybe it's that technology. There's so many questions we don't know based on that picture.
I think she said there'll be a claw.
All right.
So you'd be like in a claw machine.
That's cool. Spinning around while a claw reaches down to grab you. I love it.
Right. Can't wait.
That's what I mean.
And how about all good news?
How about Slink Dog? What do you think of that, Jimmy?
Yeah,
the coaster.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree. It's good. It's going to be nice to have something there for kids. And
I don't have this concept art in front of me. Are you riding in Slinky Dog? Is that
yes? Yes.
Okay. Cool. Yes. Which, so think about that. It stretches, it pulls, it twists, it turns. Eh, everyone knows it's slinky. See that? I did that and didn't even try.
And the Imagineer mentioned how Andy put together the roller coaster out of different things in his room and just happened to put Slinky Dog on top of it, so you're going to ride in him. So it's going to be a lot of like hodgepodge of a type of put-together thing.
That's right. I love it.
Okay, well, I tell you what, that's a lot to think about. A lot of announcements coming out of D23. We want to hear what you think.
You can contact us via email at ed@thedisneynerds.com, sam@thedisneynerds.com, jimmy@thedisneynerds.com, jen@thedisneynerds.com. And if you have a question you want answered on the show or something you just want to email us about, to all of us, questions@thedisneynerds.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook. Just search the Disney Nerds Podcast, Twitter @TheDisneyNerds, and Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for listening this week. There was a lot of great D23 information. Send us an email. Tell us what you think. Join us on Facebook. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Kogaloosh.
Quarini.